Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What happens when the Spirit gives two conflicting promptings? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We've been looking at this article that was posted in the Salt Lake Tribune. This Mormon Sunday school teacher was dismissed for using church's own race essay in lesson. It's the story about a Mormon Sunday school teacher by the name of Brian Dawson, who happens to be married to a Nigerian woman. And a question was raised by one of his students. Why is it that she and her family would join a church that had barred blacks from being ordained to its all-male priesthood until 1978? So Brian Dawson was going to answer that question by using an essay that came out in December of 2013 titled Race and the Priesthood. It's found on LDS.org, but in using this approved essay that is found on an official website, he gets into trouble. He is removed from his teaching position, and when he's trying to explain his reasoning to his bishop, and this is where we left you in yesterday's show, he said to his bishop, "If the Holy Spirit guides me in a way that involves these multitude of documents, who am I to resist the enticing of the Spirit?" And what did the bishop say to Brian Dawson?
He said, "The Spirit is telling me to tell you not to use those documents."
So, if you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this, you already know the answer to this question. If you have competing promptings of the quote-unquote Spirit, and I do have that in quotes, you know that officially whoever has the higher priesthood authority always trumps the one with the lower priesthood authority. And the very fact that this man is the bishop would assume that he has higher priesthood authority than Brian Dawson. But is the bishop right? How do you know when the bishop is right?
What would the people who wrote the essays, what would they say about this? It says on the LDS.org website under the gospel topic section, it says media reports have at times offered inaccurate or distorted analyses of some of these essays. We urge all to read the essays as written rather than relying on the characterization of their content by others. And I'm wondering, Bill, has this bishop even read the essay? Does he even know much about it? They're published on LDS.org so people can get information. His students have a legitimate question. Why did you marry a black woman? Why would she be a part of a church that would not have allowed her to have had the same privileges as white people? Why would she join this church? And he wanted to give an answer. But what better place could he have gone than to not rely on anything but the actual church website?
And that's the whole point. When the bishop responds by saying that the Spirit is telling him something quite the opposite, I think most people would say, gee, it sounds like Brian Dawson, within the context of Mormonism, was going through the right channels. But here is this bishop, and you raise a good point. If he had never read these things before, wasn't familiar with them, and ignorance sometimes will cause us to draw conclusions that we would not draw had we had more information. So was it really the Spirit telling him that? I don't know. I wouldn't think so. But the point that I'm trying to get across is Mormons love to use this mysterious, well, the Spirit's prompting me to do something. And many times, as an outsider looking in, I would say, that can't be the Spirit because the Holy Spirit doesn't operate that way. Mm-hmm. But yet, here we have two faithful Latter-day Saints. They're both coming up with different promptings. And yet, most Mormons would say, well, the bishop's right just because of his authority. But yet, is he really correct? Mm-hmm. I would say that's questionable. So anyway, let's go on in this story.
And this next section is titled, A Personal Stake. With the threat of being dropped from teaching, he, Dawson, and his wife, Azeen Dawson, asked to meet the bishop and their LDS stake president, who oversees a number of Mormon congregations in Hawaii. Azeen's parents joined the LDS Church in Nigeria in the early 1980s. The family members moved to Hawaii, where they were sealed a few years later as an eternal family in the LDS temple. As a young girl, Azeen didn't even think about the now disavowed reasons for the church's previous prohibition on blacks, that they were fence sitters in a premortal world, or that they bore the curse of Cain, until she was a teen.
And we should say that the phrase fence sitters is in quotations, as well as the phrase curse of Cain. And I want to mention for our listeners that fence sitters is kind of a controversial statement, because most leaders that I have read prior to 1978 would not use that phrase. They would merely say that there were one-third of God's spirit children who were not as valiant as they could have been in the war in heaven when our brother Lucifer rebelled against Jesus and rebelled against Heavenly Father.
In the pre-existence. In a previous
correct.
Life that we were all part of, according to Mormon doctrine. And then she said this, quote, "Even I used some of those reasons. I didn't know they were false doctrine," end quote.
Now, that's an interesting phrase, because for something to be false doctrine, you have to assume there has to be some kind of true doctrine. That's the controversy, folks. The Mormon Church today is trying to give you the impression that this was never really a doctrine, that this was based more on the racism of Brigham Young, as this article brings out, and as the essay also brings out. They threw Brigham Young under the bus, trying to protect Joseph Smith, and I will admit I can't find any primary sources that are certainly as awful as the things that Brigham Young said, that's for sure. But the fact remains, they are trying to say it was Brigham Young. But if it was Brigham Young, let's not forget, those who followed in Brigham Young's footsteps, all of the leaders, clear on up to Spencer W. Kimball, all held to the same position. And I'm sure if you were to ask them, what was the reason for blacks not holding the priesthood, which is the question raised in this article, they would have told you what I just said, that there was a war in heaven and one-third of God's spirit children were not as valiant as they could have been. They were valiant enough that they could come and take on mortal bodies, but they would have the dark skin to show who could not have the priesthood.
And you're not just making that up, Bill. You're just going with the documents that we have that the church has preserved. We can go back before 1978, all the way back to the days of Brigham Young. And in fact, in your book, in their own words, I think you have about 4 or 5 total pages just on this issue of blacks and all the different things that were said before 1978.
It's not even hard to find this information. And when they say that it wasn't a doctrine, that's not true. There's a First Presidency statement that came out in the 1950s that makes it very clear that it was doctrine. That's the way it was understood. What a horrible thing for these leaders. Are they so out of the spirit that they would punish all these members from something as important as having the priesthood? Because without the priesthood, a Mormon male can't hope to have exaltation in the next life. You would punish them for that on something that was less than doctrine? That is so hard for me to believe.
And mere opinion. It can't be just mere opinion. The article goes on and says, Azeen spent her high school years in upstate New York and felt accepted in her Mormon congregation there. As a freshman at BYU, however, she experienced the sting of racism from her church community for the first time. Quote, "My freshman roommate from Pleasant Grove refused to talk with me. She was uncomfortable being around me," end quote. Today, Azeen is married with 4 children, ages 7, 5, 3, and 1, and finds the church's essay on race helpful at explaining the past. Quote, "Now I have resources to teach my children," end quote. That is why her husband's exchange with the bishop was so baffling. Quote, "It didn't make sense to me," she says. "He was not teaching black history. He was teaching Mormon history," end quote.
That's a great point. He was teaching the history of the LDS Church from an official source found on an official website. And for that, he was punished. Now, the argument could be, well, but the kids were 12 and 14. Oh, come on. These are the age of priesthood holders. They're 12 years old. That's when you can hold the Aaronic priesthood. They're not really little kids, at least not in the context of Mormonism. They should be able to handle Mormon history. And to shield them from that tells you you've got problems with your history. That's how it comes across to me.
Yeah. And then the next part is just baffling. It says, eventually, their local LDS leaders agreed that Dawson's materials were legitimate, as if they weren't before, but decided he shouldn't teach them anyway. It was too much for the kids, they argued, and church was not the right venue for the discussion.
So church is not the right venue to discuss church history. Amazing. What do you do with that?
It's just
incredible. It was too much for the kids, they argued. And again, we're not talking about little tiny children. We're talking about priesthood age, Aaronic priesthood. If they're not old enough for that, then why are they old enough to hold the priesthood?
I think that's a great point. And then it says, Brian Dawson's term as teacher thus ended, but the conversation about race and the priesthood will continue. Quote, our children are going to deal with this, his wife says. Lots of members are going to have to deal with it, end quote. And Peggy Fletcher Stack, the author of this article, says, and talk about it. Quote, if people open their eyes to LDS Black history on their own, they leave the church, Tamu Smith says. But if we help open their eyes, they stay with us, end quote.
Now, that's an interesting point because we've heard this before, that a lot of the controversial aspects of Mormon history, if a member of the Mormon church learns about it from an outsider, it has a much more damaging effect on the testimony of that member than if they were to hear it, let's say, in a gospel doctrine class. Why that is, I don't know. You would think that the facts themselves would still be perplexing and maybe even offensive to a certain point. But for some reason, that does seem to calm their fears. Well, if this person can tell me about this and they seem to still be faithful in the church, then what is it that I need to know in order that I can follow them in that path? But the ending of this article I thought was incredible.
Tamu Smith would rather hear the truth from someone who wants to keep me in the faith. And then the article ends, like perhaps a Sunday school teacher.
Like perhaps a Sunday school teacher, but that was not to be the case when it came to the race and priesthood essay that Brian Dawson chose to use in explaining why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood for much of LDS history.
I'm just wondering, Bill, is there going to be any backlash that Brian and Azine Dawson are going to receive? Somebody had to have brought that to Peggy Fletcher Stack's attention. Whether it was the Dawsons themselves or somebody else, we're not sure. But because they included a picture, it was a courtesy picture of the two of them, the article doesn't seem to bode well for the LDS Church. It makes them look like they're paranoid.
And one of the things you don't do as a member of the LDS Church is you don't bring any type of embarrassment to the church. And certainly this has. It's not, in my opinion, it wasn't Brian Dawson really that was bringing the attention to himself on this thing. I think he was following the right course in order to try and educate his young people about this, using a church-approved essay. I don't see a problem with that. But I think a lot of people do see that the Mormon Church has some problems with this history. I think this, if anything, this article brings that out. Even those within the Mormon Church know they have problems.
And maybe LDS members themselves are going to have to wonder, should they share what they're learning on the internet when they read LDS.org?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.